Crosstown Concourse, and the University of Memphis. We are Raised by Sound.
Good morning. This is Bishop Phoebe Rofe of the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee, and you are listening to Faithfully Memphis. Every Thursday morning, I have an opportunity to broadcast from the WYXR studios in Crosstown Concourse to interview a person to learn about the things that are important to them, the sorts of activities they're engaged with, and the role of faith in their lives. So we always start the show with a saint of the day. And today happens to be the Thursday that the Christian faith recognizes as the Feast of the Ascension of Jesus Christ, or Ascension Day. Now, for those of you who aren't Christians, of course, Jesus lived as a human being, fully human and fully divine. He was arrested at approximately 33 years of age, tried, crucified, which was a really heinous form of death in the first century, carried out by Roman authorities, and died. He rose on the third day and then continued to be sort of walking around for about 40 days after he rose from the dead. But then he rose, not as in just rising from the dead, but his whole body ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father. And so this is definitely a significant feast in the Christian tradition, kind of ranking up there with his death and Easter and Pentecost. And the wonderful thing about the Ascension is that Jesus did not leave the disciples alone or abandoned, because he promised that when he returned to the right hand of his Father, he would send the Holy Spirit to be with his disciples for forever, to be our advocate, to be our guide, to be the one who helps us discern with decision making. And really, when the Holy Spirit came, and that is what the church will celebrate on the Feast of Pentecost, sort of enlivening or getting the church on fire to go out and spread the mission of Jesus. And so now Christians believe that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, which is where Jesus has been since Ascension Day. But the amazing thing about Jesus is that he's sort of everywhere at once. He's not just at the right hand of the Father. He's also in the hearts and minds and in the lives of all faithful believers. So that's an amazing thing about God, to be simultaneously in multiple places at the same time. So we are now going to play a song selected by our special guest who's in the studio. So following this song, we will have our interview.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. Thank you.
the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the first dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the red garden, sprung in completeness where his feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morn. With elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. Morning has broken like the first morning, blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
So this is Bishop Phoebe Rofe, and we are back with Faithfully Memphis. So I am joined in the studio this morning by a young woman who is actually a senior at St. Mary's Episcopal School, which is a school for girls here in Memphis, and her name is Madison Owens. Madison has been really involved in the St. Mary's School community. She is part of the Honor Council, the Black Student Alliance, student ambassadors, and she's also been very active with Bridge Builders. So I'm hoping that we get a chance to talk to her about all of those things. So Madison, welcome to Faithfully Memphis.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Now, I know that St. Mary's School has students from all faith traditions, not just Episcopalians. In fact, not just Christians. So can you share a little bit about the role of faith in your family and your faith tradition?
Yes, I can. So my family and I are Christians, and my grandfather was actually a priest. So I remember when I was younger going to church and being so happy to see someone I knew up there talking to everyone. And I have so many memories of just going to his office after church and getting Jolly Ranchers with my other friends at church. But my faith has contributed to many things, but especially my personality. I remember going to church when I was younger and hearing someone talk about how important it is to be kind to others. And I remember going home and being so inspired by that I decided that I wanted to be the sort of person who brightens people's day. And saying that now makes me smile because my senior quote is, "Be a rainbow in someone else's cloud" by Maya Angelou.
Wow, be a rainbow in someone else's cloud. Mm-hmm. Wow, so let me just stop you right there. So you heard something connected with faith, and that led you to actually want to change something about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think it was that made you say, I really want to focus on this with intentionality?
Well, something that I think has always shaped who I am as a person is other people.
Okay.
So I remember there just being people who just make me feel so happy and comfortable and safe. Mm. And I remember wanting to be that person for someone else. Mm-hmm. And that's always been very important for me. Mm-hmm. So I think that really said, okay, Madison, you're going to be that person. So this is what you're going to do. And just, and that's just really inspired me over these past few years.
Wow, that's great. So I would imagine that since St. Mary's is an Episcopal school, that chapel has been an important part of your time there. Can you say a little bit about sort of the worship life at St. Mary's?
So chapel is actually one of my favorite parts of the day. And what I love about chapel is that you don't have to be Christian to enjoy chapel. Mm-hmm. We start off, Reverend Bush, we start off with a prayer, and then we sing hymns. Well, we haven't done that this year because of COVID, but that was a key part of chapel. And then we just have a speaker who always has a message that's inspiring or important. I'm trying to think of past chapel talks. And then their senior speeches happened during chapel. So mm-hmm. this year I gave one, which was really exciting, and also gave me the skills necessary for public speaking. Mm-hmm. And then we end with a prayer. And then chapel is just the time of the day where we as students can breathe. Mm-hmm. And relax. And I can't imagine St. Mary's without that chapel time.
Wow. So you have been involved in lots of different organizations and initiatives during your time at St. Mary's. Do you want to tell us a little bit about some of these organizations or activities mm-hmm. that have been the most meaningful to you?
So I think the three most meaningful organizations for me have been the Honor Council, the Black Student Alliance, and Bridge Builders.
Okay.
And I'll start with the Honor Council. So I have been a part of the Honor Council since sophomore year when I was first elected by my class. And the Honor Code is taken very seriously at St. Mary's. And the purpose of the Honor Council isn't to look down upon people who break the Honor Code, but to help them learn from their mistakes. Mm-hmm. And that's a principle that makes me so proud to be on the council. But for me personally, being on the Honor Council has reinforced the importance of being honest, mm-hmm. Doing what is right when no one is watching, and also the importance of never judging anyone for breaking the Honor Code or just breaking a rule in general, to be honest, because stressful times can lead to not so great decisions, mm-hmm. but one mistake does not and should not define a person.
Right. So let me just stop you there, because I'm thinking about the Hebrew word for sin, and that word actually means missing the mark, mm-hmm. right? That you're aiming for something and you don't quite hit it. Now, sometimes, of course, people are intentional about hurting others, and we don't want people to have the aim to be something that's negative, but all of us, mm-hmm. in a sense, are aiming for something and missing the mark. Mm-hmm. So I love that notion of not being judgmental, but saying, what can I learn from this experience? And moving forward, how can I do things better yeah. next time?
And I also think that's helped me personally, like not being hard on myself when I make a mistake or I do get a bad grade on a test or a quiz. And,
right. You
know. So that's helped in many ways in my life.
Got it. So that's the Honor Council. That's mm-hmm. the first organization. So what's the second organization?
Next, I'll talk about the Black Student Alliance. So St. Mary's is a great institution, and I love my school. But at the end of the day, it's still predominantly white, mm-hmm. which can be isolating for students of color. There have been many instances where I'm the only Black person in my class. Mm-hmm. So just having the chance to gather with my fellow Black students once a month is necessary and also just so rewarding. Mm-hmm. Also, I was president of the Black Student Alliance this year, and that position threw me out of my comfort zone, which I am so grateful for, because I feel like I've grown so much mm-hmm. This past year. I tend to be the person who just likes to sit there and kind of be quiet and observe, but I couldn't do that because I'm president. It's my responsibility to lead other people, along with my co-president, Kaylin Ingram. So just getting the chance to lead meetings and just listen to other Black students at St. Mary's and just try to create a safe space for Black students at St. Mary's has honestly been one of my favorite parts of the year, especially considering everything going on in the world.
Right. So can you give me a sense of some of the activities? Or, I mean, certainly with COVID, if you couldn't even be in person, how did the Black Students Alliance function this year?
So we started off being completely virtual. So we met on Google Meet. And one of the things that we wanted to do this year was connect current Black students of St. Mary's with past Black mm-hmm. students at St. Mary's. So we can sort of have an idea of what it means to be a Black woman in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we invited multiple alumni. We have two students from Howard University, which is really cool. We had an alumna who works at Twitter, which was so cool. So just really connecting with Black students from Black graduates of St. Mary's who are all over in the world has been really cool.
So with the pandemic and everybody being on, like you say, Google Meets or Zoom or whatever, instead of a person having to fly to Memphis, mm-hmm. they could just take an hour from their time wherever they were located and dial in, basically.
Yeah. And that's been so nice because we probably wouldn't have been able to talk to those graduates if it wasn't for the pandemic.
Right. Well, an African-American woman, I myself was not so much during high school because I went to a very large public high school that had lots of Black students. But certainly in college, I often found myself, the only Black person in a class or in a gathering. So this is something that you will continue to explore mm-hmm. what that means to be completely a part of any group that you enter, but to also have pride and to know your history mm-hmm. in your own people's heritage and history and contributions. So I'm glad that you all are getting started on that journey now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that I struggled being Black in a predominantly white institution when I was growing up. So I just think empowering young Black girls is just so important to me, but especially young Black girls at predominantly white institutions. Because I just remember hating being Black. Like mm-hmm. I had a lot of self identity issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just so grateful for the Black Student Alliance and that girls at St. Mary's have the space to just talk to other students who have gone through the same things.
Yeah. And I think for all of us, regardless of our race or our gender, I would imagine we all have periods where we question or we doubt. I think sort of having some doubts mm-hmm. and insecurities is a part of life. But then if there are other things such as being of a particular race that makes you a minority, mm-hmm. that can put an even extra burden or level of stress. So mental health is so important, Madison.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that you do as a high school student to try to keep yourself positive and focused and moving forward?
Talking to my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to music and also reading. I rediscovered my love for reading during quarantine. And when high school is stressful, I know when I need to take a mental health break, when it becomes hard for me to do my homework mm-hmm. and I get unmotivated and I don't want to do anything, I have to step away from everything and just do things that make me happy. And reading is one of those things. I'm trying to think of what else. Also, I consider asking for help a sign.
Mm-hmm.
A form of self-care, especially for me, because it's always been hard for me to ask for help. But this past year, I've been working on that and just realizing that I can't do everything by myself and that sometimes I'm going to need help from others has just been so beneficial for me.
That's great. So can you tell me something that you have read this past year that has been really helpful or meaningful?
In my women in literature class a few months ago, we read The Color Purple.
Mm. Alice Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I just fell in love with all of the characters and the book. I haven't watched a movie yet, but I'm planning on doing that this summer.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many quotes in that book that I just love.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can recall the one word for word, but I just fell in love with that book.
That's great. That's great. And so you said there are three organizations. Mm-hmm. So what's the final organization?
So the final organization is Bridge Builders. Mm-hmm. I've been a part of that organization since seventh grade, I think. So Bridge Builders has been a part of my life for a long time. It's an organization for youth in Memphis. And I do my community service work through Bridges and also participate in workshops that are dedicated to helping students become better leaders mm-hmm. in their respective communities. Bridges has taught me a lot, but one of the main lessons that's been helpful for me is that there are different types of leaders.
Mm-hmm.
even though I've worked on this past year, I've never been the sort of person who stands up in front of a group and says, hey, we're going to do this, and these are the steps that are going to get us there. I'm more of the person who likes to provide emotional support for people one-on-one and then make sure that everyone's voice is heard. But Bridges really taught me that what I tend to do in group settings is also a valid form of leadership, which has been really helpful. Also, at almost every Bridges event that I attended, there is a key message that my opinion is valuable and my voice matters. Mm-hmm. And those are two reminders that I will definitely take with me to college, because I might one day encounter someone who doesn't think that I'm worthy of talking about something, mm-hmm. or who might dismiss me, my opinion, without even hearing what I have to say.
Right.
So I think that Bridges has definitely taught me skills that will help me for the rest of my life.
Wow, that is great. And this is probably a reminder to me that it might be good for me to actually interview someone from Bridges so that we can really get the word out about mm-hmm. that organization for folks who may not be aware of mm-hmm. it. That's great. So a couple of times already in this conversation, we've sort of mentioned the elephant in the room, which is COVID-19, coronavirus, this global pandemic that no one in our lifetime has ever lived through. And one of the reasons that I was so interested in having you come on the show, Madison, is I'm wondering, I know what it's been like to try to navigate COVID as an adult, but how have you as a high school student been impacted by COVID?
So I was a junior when COVID first began to spread in the United States, and the switch to remote learning in April and late March combined with the pandemic was a lot to handle.
Mm-hmm.
But the teachers and faculty at St. Mary's did everything in their power to make sure that the transition went as smoothly as possible. But change is hard. But one thing that I think made things less overwhelming was social media. Being able to go on Instagram and TikTok and see that other people were also struggling to adjust to the changes that COVID brought made me feel less lonely and also gave me hope that I could get through this. But on the other hand, there are times where social media made things more stressful. Seeing that people were taking advantage of their time in quarantine was amazing, and seeing people start exercising more regularly or starting a new business or other things. But it also made me feel pressure to also...
Right, to do something yeah. unique or amazing.
Yeah, and I thought I was doing something wrong because I wasn't actively doing that. So I actually had to take a step away from social media for a little bit. But I eventually realized that like I was handling being in a pandemic the best way that I could, and that's all I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So once I realized that, I was fine. But social media was both a big help, but also it made things a little more difficult.
Yeah. So now I have to say, I have a niece who's just finishing her first year in college. And a couple of years ago, I said, well, you know, I'm on Facebook. Can we be friends on Facebook? And she was like, Aunt Phoebe, Facebook is for old people. Like, I am not on Facebook. So what sorts of social media platforms are you on as a high school senior?
Well, technically, I have Facebook, but I never go on the app. It's just something I have in case someone ever asks me, do you have Facebook? Yeah, and I can just get them. But I don't really open that app.
Right.
But I feel like the most popular three social media apps for my generation are Snapchat, Instagram, and TikTok. TikTok became a really big thing during
the COVID. Yeah, the shutdown. Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest. I spend the majority of my days on TikTok. So I probably need to delete that app and go outside more often. But yeah, TikTok and Instagram are really big.
And so what is it about TikTok that you like? Is it that you actually get to see people doing these little dances or sharing knowledge? I mean, what is it about that form that really got your attention?
I think it's a combination of all of those things. There are people talking about social issues on TikTok. There are people who are dancing on TikTok. There are people who are advertising their products on TikTok. And also, this might sound a little cheesy, but I feel like TikTok, we're all kind of a big family because there's so many inside jokes.
Yeah.
And then like the comment sections are always really funny on videos, but the comment sections are also really inspiring on videos sometimes when the video is talking about a more serious topic. So
got it. Yeah. Well, I've seen a few little TikTok videos if something really makes the media, but I've never actually gone on to TikTok. So maybe, Madison, you're inspiring me to at least try it out.
You should.
Now, there have been a lot of things exposed during the time of this pandemic, not just here in Memphis and Shelby County, but really throughout our whole country and the world. And these include the income inequality, the gap between those who have and those who don't, unequal access to health care, environmental issues, and systemic racism. So I'm wondering, for you as a high school student, what are your thoughts about how our country might begin to address some of these really difficult topics? And what's the role of young people in helping us come up with a solution?
So I took anatomy this year, and one day we had a discussion about unequal access to healthcare. And I became so interested that I decided to do my winter final anatomy project on racial disparities within the COVID pandemic. And I learned so much doing that project. But one of the biggest takeaways was how important it is to invest into predominantly minority neighborhoods located in low-income areas. Because many of the factors behind why COVID has been so detrimental for minorities has to do with living conditions. So I think that's really important. But I also think it's important to have conversations about what these issues actually look like in the world. So maybe having a conversation centering around the fact that minorities are more likely to live in areas that have toxins in the air that can contribute to underlying health conditions that make a COVID diagnosis more serious or more deadly. So I think being specific about the conversations that we have is really impactful. For young people, I think maybe some first steps that can be taken are finding an issue that you're passionate about and then researching that issue. That's what happened with me with healthcare inequities. Actually, I think I want my future career to have something to do with healthcare inequities. And also just finding a way that you can make a change. Like, I've started having conversations with my family members and close friends about healthcare inequities. And I feel like there's always something you can do. You just have to find something that's comfortable to you and something that makes you excited, and you'll be more motivated to make a change.
Wow. So this project could be a potential entryway into a career path for you. That's awesome. So you are going to graduate. I think baccalaureate is this Sunday. And then commencement is Monday. So that's less than a week away. And so I wonder, what lessons have you learned at St. Mary's that you will take with you to the next phase of your life?
I first want to say that it's crazy to think that I'm graduating Monday, because it feels like just yesterday I was a freshman. But there are three lessons that have taken a long time for me to learn, but I'm so grateful that I know them now. The first one is that I cannot control everything. I do not like when things are not set in stone. Last April, and I'm sure other people felt this way as well, I did not like that there was so much uncertainty surrounding when we would go back to school and when quarantine would end. But COVID really taught me that I can't control the future, so I shouldn't spend time worrying about the future, because that doesn't help me and it only stresses me out. But I still struggle with that today, but I am working on it. Like, for example, St. Mary's and the organizations that I've been a part of have prepared me for life after high school. But the future is still scary, because anything could happen.
Right.
But I think that just reminding myself that in the end, everything will work out and I will be okay just really helps me. The second lesson that I've learned is not to take things for granted. Freshman and sophomore year, I remember telling myself, oh, I'll just go to prom junior and senior year and I'll just wait to do that. Well, junior and senior prom didn't happen because of COVID. And so I don't think I could have predicted anything like COVID happening, but I do regret waiting to live my life when I was an underclassman. And I hope that in college I'll live in the moment more and just have fun. And the last lesson that I've learned after all of my time at St. Mary's is to do more of what scares me. Waking up this morning and driving to Crosstown was terrifying. I get really nervous speaking sometimes. But I knew that afterwards I'd be proud of myself and that I also learned from this experience. So I just said, keep it pushing, Madison, and here I am.
And here you are, doing a fabulous job.
So those are the three lessons that I've learned these past 4 years.
Well, I think that those are lessons for any person at any phase of life. And the fact that you're already aware of these things now, That is going to be such a benefit for you mm-hmm. as you move into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now we have to at least end by thinking about what are some of the things that you do for fun just to relax and enjoy yourself?
Well, this is actually something new that I discovered 2 days ago, but I played pickleball with my friends.
Pickleball, yes.
And it was my first time playing, and I ran track for a year, but like I wouldn't really consider myself athletic. So I was worried that I wouldn't be good, but it was actually really fun. So I have a feeling that's going to be my new thing.
Good, good. And you mentioned earlier that one of the things you enjoy doing is listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to get your iPod, first of all, how do you listen to music?
I use Apple Music to listen to my music.
Okay, so if I were to get your Apple Music playlist, what are some of the songs or the artists that are on your playlist?
Well, I listen to almost every genre, so it's hard for me to choose one. When I'm nervous or I'm anxious, I listen to classical music. But an artist, I'm trying to think. I've been really into Nina Simone. I did a Black Music project on Nina Simone, so that she's been the artist that I've listened to this week. So
wow.
That was my recommendation.
And she's, you know, a different generation
mm-hmm.
than you are. There was a wonderful documentary about her on Netflix, I think, or Netflix or Amazon Prime. And I'm thinking about that because she herself had her own mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the documentary has a lot of footage of both Nina Simone when she was alive and then the different family members and friends who sort of walked that journey with her. So again, it's just a reminder that all of us need to be paying attention to our mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Madison, there are lots of these big, serious issues in the world. And you're a young person just about to launch from high school into college and everything that the future holds. So how are you present to your life with a sense of joy without giving in to despair or hopelessness? What gives you a sense of hope about the future?
People,
mm-hmm.
just interacting with other people. For the Black Student Alliance, for example, we talk about serious issues, but
mm-hmm.
then just being able to laugh afterwards, it just reminds me how important connections are and talking to other people. But I definitely think that I would be a different person if it weren't for the people around me. So I think that people give me hope and also just learning from other people. Yeah.
Great, great. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time and mustering up the courage to get in your car and come to Crosstown Concourse this morning. It's been a wonderful interview. And normally, after we have the interview and we play a song, I will read questions for the next segment of the show, which is called Stump the Bishop. But since you're here in the studio, we'll ask you to stay a little bit longer. And after we play the next song, then I will allow you to ask me a few questions.
Okay.
By the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry. Oh, who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of bright, who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night.
said, I, Lord, I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you
So welcome back to Faithfully Memphis, and this segment of the show is called Stump the Bishop. And since Madison is still in the studio, we're going to actually turn the tables, and she will get to ask me a few questions now. So Madison, we turn it over to you.
Okay, my first question is, have you ever had an interaction with someone or a moment that made you think, wow, this is why I love being a bishop?
Great question. So, you know, a bishop's role in the diocese and in the church is unique in a number of ways. When you are a priest or pastor or even a deacon, you tend to focus and work with one congregation, right? You are pastoring, nurturing that one flock. So you get to know one congregation really, really well. But when you're a bishop, you're actually at a different congregation or church every Sunday. So while you don't get to know one church as intimately, you have a perspective of the larger system that you don't necessarily have when you're just focused on one church. So one of the things that I love about being a bishop is that I have the big picture perspective, and I can see amazing things happening, not just in our big churches in Shelby County, but also in some of our smaller churches in counties not even close to Memphis, that if I were just pastoring one congregation and so worried about my flock, I might not even be aware of. So I love the larger perspective that I get from being a bishop. The other thing is that we have a sacrament that's called confirmation in the Episcopal Church. And that's where, because we still practice infant baptism, sometimes once a person becomes a teenager, they want to make their own profession of faith for themselves to reaffirm the things that their parents and grandparents and godparents said so they would be confirmed. Or if you're coming to the Episcopal Church from a different faith tradition, then you would be confirmed. And I love hearing the stories from people. I always like to have a little bit of time, if it's possible, with the confirmands to say, what is it about your journey with God that is leading you to do this sacrament now? So hearing the amazing stories about how God continues to work in people's lives, how God continues to transform lives, I love that part about being a bishop.
Okay. My second question is there a person or mentor who influenced your decision to become a member of the clergy?
Yes. So the whole process of discernment, or really listening and hearing God's voice, is a journey that we're all on, I'll start by saying. And God is calling all of us to something. Mm-hmm. And for some of us, it's ordination, but for others, it's to, you know, be involved in public health, as you mentioned, or perhaps be involved in teaching or science or dance or music. So I would say that my mother is one person who played an important role in that process, because my mother's family is Episcopalian and has been for several generations. So it was her encouragement and her wanting me to stay in the church that was really important. But I would also say that there were two priests, Father Jesse Anderson of blessed memory, and I guess I should say Father Jesse Anderson Jr. He was a priest in Philadelphia. His father was also a priest, Father Jesse Anderson Sr. But in the early 1990s, when I lived in Philadelphia and I was a member of St. Thomas Episcopal Church, the first African-American Episcopal Church in the United States, by the way, he said to me, "Phoebe, I really think that you have a calling on your life to be ordained." And that was really scary. Like, I could not see it at all. And I was terrified, perhaps because I knew I would have to relinquish this illusion of control. Mm-hmm. So Father Jesse Anderson was the first person to ask me that question. The second priest to ask me that question was the Reverend Susan Davidson. And she was my priest in Little Rock, Arkansas, and in New Orleans, Louisiana. And she was the priest of my sponsoring congregation as I was going through the ordination process. So Father Anderson and Mother Susan are two people who played a pivotal role because they identified something in me and they said it to me and encouraged me when I got discouraged, or they were able to answer questions when I wasn't sure about the next steps in the process. So I think for all of us, if we see gifts and skills in other people, we can actually be the one to be an encourager and supporter. So that's something that I have tried to do because they did that for me.
I really like that. Okay, my final question is, what's one life lesson that you wish you would have learned sooner?
Wow. Well, you know, you talked about some of the lessons that you have learned, and some of those things really resonated with me. One of them is enjoy the journey, be present in the moment. I think there were phases of my life where I was so focused on achieving whatever the goal was, you know, whether that was graduating from college or graduating from grad school or whatever the goal was, that I didn't stop to enjoy the journey. So I have actually learned that life is the journey, not the specific thing that I may have focused on. And I think as I was preparing for this vocation to be a bishop, people reminded me that life is a marathon and it's not a sprint. So I don't have to get everything accomplished tomorrow or even next year. And I have a tendency as a type A person to really want to be focused and complete tasks and to sort of just relax and know that I'm going to have the rest of my life to mm-hmm. do certain things. So that's a message. And the other thing is to just be yourself. And the marvelous you, right? The marvelous me that God has created us to be is just fine. And yes, we're always growing and learning and transforming, and we want to continue to evolve and improve. But God loves us exactly as we are. So I can sort of rest in that love and know that I have it. And also, God loves us too much to allow us to stay where we are today. Right? I think it is God's will and purpose for us that we continue to grow and to learn and to evolve and to change and to become, I don't know if I want to use the word better, but I will say for myself, more and more and more, living into the values and the priorities of God. So if I'm doing that, if I'm on that journey, then that's a great place to be.
Thank you for answering my questions.
Wonderful questions. So now we're going to play the final hymn that you have selected.
Mm-hmm. Greatest love is this, oh my soul, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. When I was sinking down, sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown.
So we are back on Faithfully Memphis, and I want to remind everyone that anywhere you listen to podcasts, you should be able to hear Faithfully Memphis, including Apple Music and Spotify. But after my conversation with Madison this morning, I'm starting to think that the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee may need to consider something on TikTok as well, if that's the platform that many of our young people are using. So next week's show, the guest host is going to be Brad Thompson, who is the executive director at St. Columba Camp and Conference Center. I think that will be a wonderful conversation because camps and conference centers have had to pivot just like every other organization because of the pandemic. And thanks be to God, we will have Mud Camp and Camp Able this summer at St. Columba. It won't look exactly the same as it has in years past because of social distancing and other protocols, but we are so grateful that we will be able to have camping activities. And also, we've got two amazing new lodges at St. Columba that just opened, the Johnson Lodge and the Coleman Lodge, named for two of my predecessors, Bishop Johnson and Bishop Coleman. So I think that you're going to learn lots next week by listening into the conversation with Brad. So until then, my brothers and sisters, stay safe and stay positive.